Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 10th day of September 2024, what will prove to be no doubt a historic date, as tonight President Donald Trump is facing off with Vice President Kamala Harris for their first debate. It might be their only debate in this race for President of the United States. Should be a fascinating time for all to behold. And I will give you my thoughts the next time we are live. Obviously, this is also the eve of one of the most tragic events in the history of the United States. The eve of September 11th, the anniversary of the most horrific attack on American soil by foreign terrorists, and resulting in the loss of nearly 3,000 lives, not only at the World Trade Center, but at the Pentagon building, and also on a flight that was forced to crash in a field here in my own state of Pennsylvania. And if anybody would like to listen to what I think is a fascinating interview I conducted some years ago with my friend, Staff Sergeant David Carnes. Well, he was a true hero of 9/11. In fact, there was a movie called Twin Towers, which features a portrayal of David Carnes by actor Michael Shannon. And it is quite a fascinating interview, I believe, that I conducted with Staff Sergeant David Carnes, and it was co-hosted by my friend who was a lieutenant colonel, now he's a general, Kevin Girard, also a United States Marine. And the original interview took place on September 9th, 2016. So if you'd like to listen to that, you can email me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and I could send you the link, or you could just go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in K-A-R-N-E-S, the last name of Staff Sergeant David Carnes, and you will be able to hear that interview of the story of how David was used of God to locate and rescue New York City Transit police officers who were trapped beneath the rubble of one of the collapsed Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001. And in fact, it was an area where the search and rescue teams had already given up their search. And so it was even more remarkable that David, on his own accord, voluntarily, began roaming through those ruins and thankfully heard one of the men trapped beneath the rubble banging on a piece of metal, and the rest is history. So I hope that you will listen to that sometime later tonight or tomorrow. Also, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership that the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon is being held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. We are featuring for the very first time ever my keynote speaker, who is Dr. Joseph Boot, an award-winning and world-renowned author and conference speaker and founder and president of the Ezra Institute. And not only is your admission free and your meal free, your time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, fun, feasting, and fellowship, all free. Everybody receives a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, all absolutely free, as things are always free at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheons, under the strict orders of my precious late wife, Julie, whose brainchild this or these pastors' luncheons are. And not only is everything free, we have a strict rule that I continue to follow, laid down by my late wife, of not having anything for sale there, not having any ulterior motives or hidden agendas. It's just a time to treat pastors and leaders in Christ Church to a wonderful time of edification and refreshment, and a time to fellowship with not only old friends that they may not have seen in years, but make new friends as well. So I hope that as many of you as possible who are men in ministry leadership can attend this event on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. To register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Please make sure you give me not only your full name, but the name and location of your church or parachurch ministry and the number of men who will be joining you at the free luncheon. And I just heard word earlier today from my dear friend, my longtime dear friend, Phil Johnson, who is the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. Every time we have one of these luncheons, Phil Johnson personally has books shipped out for free that we can give away to the pastors there. And he is just one of many who do that. And among the many books that will be available for the men in attendance this time around will be the book At the Throne of Grace, A Book of Prayers by John MacArthur. So that's just one of many of the books that will be available for free at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. Once again, if you want to register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Please remember, as I have already informed you on this program in the past, and as Phil has informed you himself in social media, please continue to keep Phil Johnson in your prayers, as he is battling blood cancer and is going to be undergoing a bone marrow transplant. And so please pray that the Lord either uses divine miraculous means to heal our dear brother, or to just steadily and meticulously and carefully guide the hands and the minds of all those physicians and others whom are providing medical care for Phil, so that we can hear wonderful praise reports about his full recovery. So keep dear brother Phil in your prayers. But I am excited to have a returning guest today. We are going to be discussing a theme that we have discussed on this show before from different points of view, and I'm eagerly looking forward to hearing today's guest's point of view on this issue. We have Brandon James Crawford returning to the show, or should I say Dr. Brandon James Crawford. He is author of Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty. And he is also the lead pastor at Grace Baptist Church of Marshall, Michigan. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Brandon Crawford.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I'm delighted to be here. And just calling me Brandon will be fine.
Okay. Well, first of all, before we get into the theme of your book, let our listeners know about Grace Baptist Church of Marshall, Michigan.
Okay. Grace Baptist Church is in South Central Michigan. We serve a community of about 7,000 people. And we are a Calvinistic Baptist church. And our distinctives include a commitment to expositional preaching, to Reformation theology, particularly to a revised Second London Baptist Confession. We're also known for our commitment to reverent worship and to family integration as well. So we unite all age groups in every aspect of our church's ministry. We're also committed to faithful praxis. Okay, we are committed to pursuing the biblical mission without resorting to ploys or gimmicks. We rely solely upon prayer and faithfulness and the sovereign working of God.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Grace Baptist Church of Marshall, Michigan, go to gracebaptistmarshall.com, gracebaptistmarshall.com, and God willing, we will repeat that information later on in the broadcast. Well, as I've already said in the outset of today's show, the topic of today, not obviously under this specific title of Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty, but the subject of exactly how the roads of church life and the Church of Jesus Christ itself and the road of politics intersect, and how we are to deal with each of these subjects and topics in a faithful way, honoring God and His inerrant word. There are, as you fully know well, especially having written a book on this subject, there are differing views in the body of Christ, and there are sometimes very heated and passionate disagreements over this, sometimes even sadly leading to sharp division and sometimes even to the extreme of folks disfellowshipping one another, which is a tragedy in my opinion. I have learned something from everybody that I've had as a guest on this program, even when they have had differing views from one another on how to address this subject. But with all of the books that have come out, especially in recent years, because this is definitely a hot topic in the Church of Jesus Christ today, what did you think was lacking in what was already available, not to disparage any of the authors who have already written on the subject and had their works published, but just something that you believed there existed a void of some sort where your own contribution to this subject, you believed, I need to write a book of my own on this and have it available to those seeking biblical truth. How is your book right out of the gate here offering a somewhat different approach or adding information that might not otherwise be readily available in print?
Well, thank you so much for asking that question. And if I could start by explaining what really motivated me to write this book.
Sure.
There were a couple of events. The first was the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Uh-huh.
I think most people in our country knew that our government was drifting from constitutional order, but they didn't realize how far the government was willing to go. And so during the pandemic, the federal government and many state governments basically suspended our constitutional rights in the name of public health. And so from 2020 into 2023, I was fielding all kinds of questions from the members of my own church, as well as from people outside of the church, who wanted to understand the proper relationship between church and state. They wanted to understand what the biblically defined roles were of church and state. They had questions about the proper relationship between the individual and the state. Lots of questions were coming to me related to matters of conscience, how to respond to government mandates that violated conscience, and so forth. And I tried to answer every question as each came in. I also wrote some articles for our local newspaper to try to explain a biblical perspective on these things. I did a couple of sermon series on these topics, beginning with the book of Daniel, because we find a lot there that can offer guidance to us on matters of the individual and the government. So that was one issue. I finally concluded that I needed to do more than just write these articles on a piecemeal basis or field questions one at a time. I really needed to put everything together in a single volume that could be made widely available to people. But then the second issue was the rise of an aggressive new form of Christian nationalism. And we also saw this come to fruition during the pandemic. And this really culminated in the publication of a pair of books by Canon Press. The A Case for Christian Nationalism by Stephen Wolfe came out in 2022. And then Doug Wilson's book, Mere Christendom, came out in 2023. And those books gained a lot of traction in the Christian world. And it generated a lot of questions from people in my orbit. And I was also aware of Doug Wilson's challenge to Baptists in particular. He said to Baptists on one of his podcasts that he had published his vision for church and state, and he wanted to see a Baptist publish their vision. And so between the issues that were coming to the surface because of the government's response to the pandemic, and then the rise of Christian nationalism and Doug Wilson's challenge, I thought that I ought to give a book-length treatment of these topics an attempt. So the contribution that I think my book makes is that this book is a direct response to both recent events and a recent challenge from at least Doug Wilson's version of the Christian nationalism. And so it addresses both the militant secularism that we are up against in this nation right now, and it also provides biblical responses to that other perspective.
Well, that's great to hear. And I'm assuming you would agree with me. Maybe one of the rare times in your life that you would say that you would agree with me. But that the term Christian nationalism, very hot button term, controversial term, controversial subject, is not represented by a monolith. There are people that call themselves Christian nationalists, like, for instance, Stephen Wolfe, who you mentioned before, who is theologically a Thomist. He is vehemently opposed to presuppositional apologetics and theonomy. And then you have folks who are themselves theonomists, reconstructionists, and presuppositionalists and postmillennialists who also call themselves Christian nationalists. And you have, of course, a wide spectrum in between perhaps those two extreme views. Some saying that they can't even tell right now at this point in the game, since it's a fairly new label, they can't even decide whether they should use that label to identify themselves, because they see and hear so many differing voices claiming to be the same thing. Would you agree that I'm somewhere on the mark there in the viewing the landscape over this issue?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm reminded of that reporter from Politico who recently defined a Christian nationalist as anyone who believes that our rights come from God and not government. And by that definition, then, we are all Christian nationalists. Even Thomas Jefferson was a Christian nationalist. But there is another form of Christian nationalism that I'm more interested in interacting with, and that is the version of it currently being proposed by Stephen Wolfe, also by Doug Wilson. This idea of a Christendom 2.0. Okay, Stephen Wolfe, for example, is calling for a, quote, theocratic Caesarism, which would work to make the earthly city an analog of the heavenly city. In his version of Christian nationalism, all citizens would be baptized at birth, and the national government would be working to suppress blasphemy, heresy, disregard of public worship among the baptized. The government's chief executive.
Are you still there, brother? You got
cut off. The word and provide schools for theological education. He would call synods in order to resolve doctrinal conflicts and moderate the proceedings. Following the proceedings, the Christian prince could confirm or deny.
Yeah, you keep cutting out, brother. I'm not sure if you're aware
of the land. He goes so far as to say that the state ought to be able to tell local churches how they should arrange their auditorium furniture, where the pulpit should be in relation to the communion table and so forth.
You know, it's interesting. And by the way, brother, I don't know if
Christian nationalism.
I don't know if you're aware, brother, but you keep cutting out. Are you aware of that? Hello, Dr. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, I lost you for a second, but
yeah, I can hear you again. You keep cutting out, and I didn't know if you were aware of that. I don't know if somebody is calling you on another line, because sometimes things like that interfere with connections, but hopefully that won't continue throughout the whole program. But for some reason, you were cutting out for several seconds.
Okay. At what point did you lose me?
I basically got your whole frame of thought, but they were just in the midst of your remarks. Every 10 seconds or so, there was about a 3 second muting of your voice. But we'll just press on, and hopefully that won't continue. And it's interesting the way you described Stephen Wolfe's views. That this is the very thing that many non-theonomists or even anti-theonomic Christians have accused theonomy of teaching, And folks like my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, he is, I don't know how many years it's been since he has identified as not only post-millennial, but as a theonomic reconstructionist, but he would oppose those items in Stephen Wolfe's description of the vision of the future that he wants to see established. And it was kind of comically interesting that our mutual friend, Dr. Owen Strand, who's been a guest on this program, when he was moderating a discussion at one of the G3 conferences, he wrongly assumed that Dr. White was a Christian nationalist, or at least he wrongly assumed that Dr. White used that label to identify himself during the panel discussion. He said, "I've never said that." And he has been, as you may know, Dr. White has been an open, vehement critic, vociferous critic of Stephen Wolfe's work.
Yes, you were right earlier to point out that there is a spectrum of belief under that heading of Christian nationalism. And in the book that I've published, I am specifically addressing the version of it being promulgated by Stephen Wolfe and Doug Wilson, which is proposing this reunification of church and state, whether you would have the church as a department of the state, as Wolfe would have it, or if the church would swallow up the state, as Wilson would have it. That is the issue that I am particularly concerned to address in this book.
Great. Well, we are going to our first commercial break. If you have a question of your own and you'd like to join in to the conversation, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say, for instance, you are a member of a church that is identifying itself as a Christian nationalist church, or your pastor or pastors, plural, identify themselves as Christian nationalists and you are becoming increasingly uncomfortable with that, or perhaps it's the exact opposite of that. Anytime somebody is critical of their own pastors and elders and congregation, we would actually request that they remain anonymous. We don't want to unnecessarily bring reproach upon a church where we don't know all the facts and so on. But things like that, that you believe compel you to remain anonymous, feel free to make that request and we will grant it for you. But if it's a general question regarding my guest book, regarding history, regarding the scriptures on this subject, please give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every month, on top of that, we are getting an enormous bonus, a mind-blowing bonus. Anyone in our audience who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will ensure that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio receives 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. As long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, can't be easier than that. So if you are in the market for jewelry, don't forget Christmas will be here before you know it, even though it's months away. That will pass by like a bullet. You still have time to get something custom designed for your loved one for Christmas. Or if you're just purchasing something that they already have in stock, please go to royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we will receive 100% of the profits from that sale. I strongly, highly recommend that if you are desiring to have a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, I strongly recommend that you use royaldiadem.com. I've seen firsthand the absolute mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry, and that is no exaggeration or hyperbole. I have seen it with my own eyes and have also heard from my listeners who have purchased jewelry from them and the raving reviews that they have for this fine Christian-owned business. That's royaldiadem.com. Don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Dr. Brandon James Crawford. We are discussing his book, Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty. And if you have a question, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, or country of residence. And let's have you dissect for us, if you will, the title, Let Men Be Free, and also so that the subtitle, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty. Now, let's start with Let Men Be Free. Exactly what do you mean by that? Most patriotic Americans and Christians love the sound of that, even if they may disagree with your conclusions on how to attain that. But please give us your understanding of that.
So the title, Let Men Be Free, comes from a sermon that was delivered by Pastor John Leland. He was a Baptist pastor. And the sermon was entitled The Rights of Conscience Inalienable. And he delivered it on New Year's Day in 1791. And the line that my title comes from says this: if government can answer for individuals at the day of judgment, let men be controlled by it in religious matters. Otherwise, let men be free. So I'm calling for an arrangement of church and state that allows men and women to live with dignity as image bearers of God, and who can enjoy all of the rights that come from that high status. I don't believe that the modern secular state offers that. I also don't believe that the version of Christian nationalism being offered by men like Wilson and Wolfe can offer that either. So I'm calling for a different way, which is actually the historic Baptist way of a free church working within a free state.
And if you could, be more specific and detailed on how your understanding of being a free church in a free state differs from the major voices of opposition that you're hearing. And I'm sure that it's more than just the brand of Christian nationalism espoused by Stephen Wolfe. You have leftists who are promoting, even though they would never dream of calling it a theocracy, but there are leftists out there who are definitely proposing and promoting and trying desperately to establish a leftist theocracy. And, of course, you have even from the wing of the church that would identify itself as Christian but nonetheless be differing from you, I should say, and all of the aforementioned voices, to point out an extreme of folks like the Amish, who have purposely, in many regards, isolated themselves from any kind of government authority that they can legally get away with, and prohibiting, in some cases, even voting and so on. So where would you start with some of the main principles that you stand upon in difference to the opposing voices?
Okay. Yeah, my book actually begins with the modern secular state. And in the book, I define secularism as the notion that we can build a civil society without any reference to God, or that we can establish liberty and justice and domestic tranquility without any transcendental ground. And I explain how the seeds of that began with the Enlightenment, but really came into full flower in the early 20th century, as far as the American government is concerned. And the trouble with this is that once you have removed God from his proper place above us, then the government itself becomes God. And government makes a very poor substitute for the living and true God. And that's what we've been living under for some time now, a government who recognizes no authority above itself, and therefore it has assumed plenary powers over all of its citizens. And it can change its demands on its citizens at a whim. What was good yesterday might be considered evil by the government today. And vice versa. This is tyranny by another name. And I think that on the side of the aggressive Christian nationalists, there is really a desire there, which is a good desire, to reassert the lordship of Christ over all things, to give God his proper place as the king of this universe, and they are right to insist that all human institutions need to answer to God. But I fear that what they are doing is leading us into just another form of tyranny, that by wedding church and state back together, by insisting that all citizens be baptized at birth and compelled, at least for Stephen Wolfe, to compel them to attend church, to compel them to affirm sound doctrine, we're actually setting ourselves up for a new tyranny. And we are giving to government, on the Christian nationalist side, we're giving to the government powers that God has not entrusted to government in this age. And in so doing, we're also robbing Christ of powers that he is reserving to himself. and which only he is capable of exercising, and which he will exercise when he returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. And so what I propose in this book is a system in which church and state are working independently of one another. These are two sovereign institutions of God. They have very specific mandates from God, and the state ought to be focusing on its divine mandate, which would be simply securing the God-given rights of its citizens. And meanwhile, the church is executing its mandate, which is to make disciples among all nations. And if the church is sticking to its mandate and the state is sticking to its mandate, we have the possibility of a society that is stable over the long haul. It's what I call a system of biblically ordered liberty.
Now, how do you respond to folks who would be critics of the description that you gave in some measure? Not that they disagree with everything you said, but I have heard, for instance, from some who would identify themselves either as Christian nationalists or theonomists. And to remind our listeners, they are not necessarily the same thing. They are sometimes even considering themselves to be polar opposites of one another, to some degree anyway. But the criticism of the reason why the Nazis successfully, for at least a season before they were destroyed or brought to their knees toward the end of World War II, the reasons why they had such success in their establishing evil was because of the inactivity and lack of participation of the professing church, with the exception of some heroes of the faith. And of course, it's debatable amongst Christians on whether or not we should identify Dietrich Bonhoeffer as a hero. But you understand what I'm saying, that they will say that taken your description exclusively of what we should be seeking just leaves an open door for a Fourth Reich, if you will.
Yeah, so I think it's helpful.
You cut out
between the institutional church and individual Christian citizens. So as an institution, the church's mandate is very precise. We are simply to go, preach the gospel, gather the converts, baptize them, and teach them to observe all that Christ commanded. But as individual Christians, we have a dual citizenship. I mean, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are also citizens of earthly kingdoms. And so as Christians, we ought to be very active in the civic sphere. We ought to be speaking God's truth. We participating in government, particularly those of us who live in democratic societies. We have this ability to make our desires known to the governing authorities, to represent biblical truth in the public square. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be voting in elections, being involved in the political process and all of that. So I don't want to suggest that because the institutional church's mission is very narrow, that Christians as individuals should withdraw from the larger society.
Now,
please go ahead.
Oh, I'll remember what I was going to say. You could continue.
Okay. I was also going to mention that there is a doctrine which is held from the Reformation forward called the doctrine of interposition, which explains that God hasn't just ordained one government, but he's ordained many governments. He has ordained self-government and family government and church government, and then the civil government. And within civil government, there are, you know, local, state or provincial, and federal. God has entrusted to each of his governments certain responsibilities, and each ought to be zealous to protect its responsibilities from encroachment by others. And so we also the church to declare to the government when it is transgressing its God-ordained bounds, and to resist at those points.
I'm going to ask, we're going into our midway break momentarily. I'm going to ask you, brother, perhaps you should log out of Microsoft Teams during the break and log back in. That may fix the problem that we are experiencing where you are cutting out approximately every 10 seconds for a few seconds each interval. And I have no idea why that's happening. It didn't happen during our previous interview with each other, and it did not happen during our test earlier today. So I have no idea why this is happening. So if you could do that, log out and log back in during the midway break, which we are now taking, that would be helpful. Hopefully that's going to resolve the issues we've been facing. But folks, please be patient with us, because the midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show. Because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, where the radio station is located. They do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air in the middle of the show, while we, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Respond to as many of our advertisers as you can, because they and their finances are what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. And also send in your questions to Dr. Brandon James Crawford to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And all of you who have already submitted questions, please be patient with me, as we will try to get to your questions as soon as possible. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a Toy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur.
In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highlight at least one book from solid-ground-books.com that I believe beautifully reflects our topic for today. A 17th century work, The Civil Magistrate's Power in Matters of Religion by Thomas Cobbett. And Cobbett lays down the scriptural ordination as well as the scriptural limitation of government. And I think that any student of the subject at hand will find this book fascinating. And of course, there are multitudes of other works spanning a very wide spectrum of subjects by the finest in theologically reformed authors dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending through the centuries up to our modern day, including such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So I'm urging you, please, to visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and of Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And let me repeat the title and author of the book that I am recommending, The Civil Magistrate's Power in Matters of Religion by Thomas Cobbett, which is a 17th century work. Before I return to my conversation with Dr. Brandon James Crawford and his book, Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty, let me just remind you folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please never forget, folks, I never want an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener to give less money to the church where they are a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, never cut in to the finances that you have set aside specifically for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Never cut into that money to bless us with a financial gift. Also, if you personally are really struggling financially to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still God's money, never forget. Never forget. We are primarily to use that money to provide for church and family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love the show and you have been blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please, if you love the show, share some of that money with us. If you don't want us to go off the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Grace Baptist Church of Marshall, Michigan, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the entire globe, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And if you are spiritually homeless, as it were, I may be able to help you too, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Dr. Brandon James Crawford. That is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We do have Prudence in Nixa, Missouri, who has a question for you, Pastor Brandon. And Prudence says, I've heard from various sources that one of the problems with Christian nationalism is that there are some who are truly guilty of the sin of racism in their midst, but I must hasten to add that not all of them, and perhaps most of them, are not in any way, shape, or form guilty of that sin. What are your thoughts and discoveries on this?
So I have not seen that to be a widespread problem among people who identify as Christian nationalists. But there are some isolated statements that have been concerning to me. One in particular comes from Stephen Wolfe. At the end of his book, The Case for Christian Nationalism, he makes the statement that we need to be more ethnocentric. And that's generated a lot of controversy. It sounds like a racist statement. Now, Doug Wilson has clarified on Stephen Wolfe's behalf that he was not referring to, say, Caucasians or Hispanics or African-Americans, but that American itself is its own ethnicity. And he was simply saying we need to be more focused on our own nation and its people before being concerned about other nations and peoples. I'm not sure that I fully buy that explanation. And there are some isolated statements like that that are concerning to me.
Obviously, American is not an ethnicity.
Yeah, that's right. But that is what Doug Wilson said about Stephen Wolfe's comment that we need to be more ethnocentric. And it sounds like you're struggling with that explanation as well.
Yes, I am, actually. There is no reason why Christians need to feed into the slanderous suspicions of those who hate Christ, his word, and his church by giving them ammunition to be convinced that we are really racists. And by the way, I don't even like that term, because I think that using the term races itself is an unwitting acquiescence to the understanding that there are races of people, and I don't believe that. There's one race, the human race, or if you want to say Adam's race, and of course the new creations in Christ, but I don't even like referring to people as being in a race. But anyway, but thank you, Prudence. Please give us your full mailing address in Nixa, Missouri, because you have won a free copy of Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty, and that is compliments of G3 Press. And by the way, folks, if you want to find out more about G3 Press and all of the titles they author, including getting more details on this specific volume, go to g3min.org, g3min.org, which stands for G3 Ministries, g3min.org, and click on Press at the top of the page, and you'll have all the information that you need. And by the way, if you are listening to this broadcast today, especially if you are listening and perhaps you're driving, or you are listening to a recording of this show from the podcast or archive, and there's no way for you to obviously respond in that case or in those cases, you can still purchase the book at a discount. G3 Press is very generously offered Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners a 25% discount off retail prices for this book. And the code that you need to type in is my last name, Arnzen, A-R-N-Z-E-N, A-R-N-Z-E-N. And God willing, we'll be repeating that later on in the program. We also have a listener who has submitted a number of questions, and we can't take the time to read all of his questions, even though they all look fantastic.
I think they want a stack of free books.
That could be the motive. I'm not sure. And I just was looking at that email, and it seems to have slipped by me. Where is that email that I was looking at? I'm going to repeat our email address while I am searching for this email. Or if you want to join the conversation, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city, your state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And I just found our question today. Ian from Sarnia, Ontario, Canada. Let me read the last two questions that Ian provides for us. Do you believe the concept of ordered liberty is inherently tied in with the Noahic covenant via the establishment of human government? And does this overlap at all with the thinking of David Van Drunen with regard to natural law? And when you come around to answering that second part of the question, perhaps you could explain who David Van Drunen is.
Okay, so I've never considered connecting the Noahic covenant to the term I'm using here of you know, ordered liberty. But the concept itself simply speaks of a system of governance that has reconciled the demands of public order and personal freedom. And in my book, I use the term biblically ordered liberty because I'm calling for a polity in which church and state are regulated and relating to one another in ways prescribed by Scripture. So specifically, I'm advocating for a system in which the free church is fulfilling her mandate to make disciples, while a free state is fulfilling its mandate to secure the basic rights of its citizens, Christians and non-Christians alike. And I see this as the biblical ideal for the present age. Now, I'm not one to appeal much to natural law to establish the proper structures for society. I prefer to go to the scriptures and to revealed religion to establish that. But I know there are some that I think Andrew Walker, for example, would put a lot more weight on natural law. So if you want to see those arguments, you could pursue his writings.
No, I know Stephen Wolfe is a Thomist. Would he also?
That's true as well.
He would also focus on natural law.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Ian. And we may return to some of your other questions later on in the program. By the way, unfortunately, since you live outside of the 50 United States, we cannot have CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship out to you a free copy of the book we are addressing today. But as I mentioned earlier, you can purchase it for 25% off retail by going to g3men.org, click on press, and use the promo code or the discount coupon code ARNZEN, my last name, ARNZEN. And thank you so much for taking the time to write such excellent questions. I'd like you, before we go to any additional questions, to continue highlighting those things that are unique to the conversation. And when I say unique, obviously you believe they're biblical and you believe they have a place in especially Baptist history. But I'm talking about in regard to the contemporary debate over these things. Some of the things that you want to emphasize in contrast to what your opponents are saying and writing.
Okay, so one more really significant difference would be in our understanding of the Great Commission. Okay, this is the church's mandate given in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, if you read Wilson, Torba, and Isker, and some of these other guys that are on the more aggressive end of Christian nationalism, they will say that the Great Commission instructs the church to, quote, disciple the nations. And by that, they mean that it's the church's job to be politically and culturally engaged in such a way that they are aiming to change the structures of society, to change the governance structures of a nation state. But I argue in the book that they are misunderstanding a couple of things in the Great Commission. For starters, it does not say disciple the nations. It says make disciples of the nations. And this is very different. We are not called to engage with nation states at a structural level so much as we are to preach the gospel to individuals seeking their repentance and faith in Christ. And we're not instructed to baptize the nations, okay, but rather to baptize the disciples that we make. Particularly, I'm thinking of Torba and Isker here in their book on Christian nationalism. They seem to confuse the word nation in the Great Commission with modern nation states. So they write in their book, you know, the Great Commission tells us to disciple the nations. Well, America's a nation, so we need to disciple America. Well, the word translated nations there is actually the Greek word ethne, and it's not speaking of nation states, but rather of distinctive ethno-linguistic people groups, like Jews or Samaritans. And so the Great Commission is a mandate for the church to go into all of the world's various ethno-linguistic people groups, to preach the gospel to those peoples, to gather those who respond in repentance and faith, to baptize them, establish local churches, and those churches then become bases of operations to take the gospel still further. Okay. So this is one major difference between what I'm arguing for and what some Christian nationalists are arguing for. Okay. A church that is an institutional church that is actively trying to change the structures of nation states to bring them into submission to Christ, versus a mandate to make individual disciples within the various people groups of the world. Okay. And clearly that's a very big difference in our understanding of the Great Commission.
Okay. We have another listener. We have Buck in Laramie, Wyoming. And Buck says, are some of the disagreements you have with Christian nationalists rooted in a different chronological order of things that would develop naturally if you are being used of God through evangelism and spreading the gospel? Hearts and minds are going to change, and citizens of various nations should eventually be used of God to transform even the governments of those nations. So in one sense, the outcome is the same, but perhaps the chronological order is different. Am I totally off base here?
I appreciate that question. And there, some of the differences, say, between my vision for church and state and Doug Wilson's vision is in our ecclesiology. I'm a Baptist, he's a Presbyterian, and also in our eschatology, I'm premillennial and he is postmillennial. And so we have a different conception of what the church exactly is, who comprises the church, and then how the kingdom of Christ is going to be established on the earth. So some of the differences are there. But I certainly believe, and I write about this in the book as well, that if the church is being faithful to its mission of making disciples, if the Lord should bless the church's efforts with numerical growth, and if the church is being faithful in making sound disciples, then yes, there will be major impacts on society as a whole. America today continues to be an incredibly blessed nation because a biblical worldview has had such an influence, because there have been so many Christian peoples to be salt and light in this society. So absolutely, if the church is fulfilling its mission, it will have society-wide impact. But it's not the job of the institutional church to try to take the levers of political and cultural power and to try to coerce those changes, say, before disciples are actually being made.
Okay. And by the way, listener, you have also won a free copy of Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty. Make sure that you send us your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service can ship that book out to you at no charge to you or to us. And we want to thank, again, G3 Press for providing not only this limited number of free copies of the book we are giving away to those submitting questions, but also offering others in our audience who cannot win a copy, the great discount of 25% off retail price if you order at g3min.org, g3min.org, click on press, and then use promo code ARNZEN, A-R-N-Z-E-N, A-R-N-Z-E-N. By the way, Brother Brandon, are you aware of a shortcut to go directly to G3 Press's website?
No, I think if you simply go to g3min.org, right there on...
Unfortunately, we are back to you cutting out. Are you there, brother? Hello, Brother Brandon.
You were cutting out for a moment.
Yes, yeah, so were you.
Okay.
If you could explain g3min.org and...
g3min.org, and if you simply scroll down the homepage, you will see my book displayed right there on the homepage. You can click on that and order.
Great, and make sure you use promo code ARNZEN to get 25% off retail. Let's see, we have Chicky in Great Falls, Montana, who wants to know, what is the worst case scenario of interpreting scripture in the way that you believe Christian nationalists and other who oppose your views are interpreting it?
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, I guess, well, the worst results.
Yes, the worst possible results. Well, for starters, I would say that the vision espoused by men like Wilson or Wolf end up giving to the state powers that God has not given to it in this age. I would also say that in so doing, they are robbing Christ of powers that he alone is able to wield and that he intends to wield at his coming. And so I don't think it's a small thing that their system is trying to assume powers to itself or to the state in this age that Christ simply does not want to grant to it. But if we're looking at worst possible situation, let's say that they are successful in achieving their goal of reuniting church and state. Well, we will probably end up with a situation like we had in the late Middle Ages, where we had a church hierarchy or a church leadership that was largely unregenerate, consists of political appointees rather than consisting of men who are biblically qualified for the job. And over time, if we have a corrupt church, we will have a corrupted gospel. We will end up in a new tyranny. I think that would be worst case scenario.
Yeah, obviously, any Baptist who heard your description earlier, if you're accurate about Stephen Wolfe's vision, he envisions in his dream government, if you will, the mandating of infant baptism. So those of us who are Baptists can only wonder what is the outcome of refusing that. We who are Baptists who know anything about history know that not only the Roman Catholic Church, but even fellow Protestants who are paedo-Baptists have on occasion very gruesomely tormented, tortured, and murdered Baptists for refusing to baptize infants. And so does Stephen Wolfe detail what he believes is the methodology that the church is supposed to maintain a mandate like that? And also, does Doug Wilson agree with that level of a theocracy or an ecclesiocracy, might be a better way of putting it, since you're not just talking about God's law, you're talking about a specific church's interpretation of one of the ordinances or sacraments of the church. But, you know, so if you could answer both of those.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what happens in both of their visions is that the church and the state lose their distinctiveness as separate institutions of God. And what happens is that you end up with a state where a church where everyone is automatically enrolled at birth, just like the state. And the church's mandate begins to blend with the state as well. Using the sword to enforce some of the church's doctrines. Now, Stephen Wolfe has a much more aggressive form than Wilson does. All Wilson would like to enforce is the Apostles' Creed. Stephen Wolfe would want to enforce a much more robust confession of faith. And in terms of punishing religious dissenters, I'm not exactly sure where Wolfe would come down on it, but I know that Wilson, in his book, Mere Christendom, says that he would fine Baptists for refusing to sprinkle their babies at birth. So at the least, there would be a financial penalty there.
And I'm assuming you're cutting out. And folks, we don't know why this is happening. We apologize for the inconvenience of my guest cutting out. But we are going to be entering into our final break. And if anybody would like to submit your own question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And I'm going to ask my guest, Dr. Brandon James Crawford, if you can hear me, to do a repeat of what you did last time, log out of Microsoft Teams and log back in. So hopefully when you return, we can have the remainder of the program free from the cutting in and cutting out. Don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And folks, don't forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call my very dear longtime friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Call that number no matter which of the 50 states in which you live. All 50 states are qualified. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit the website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now we are back with Dr. Brandon James Crawford discussing his book, Let Men Be Free, A Christian Vision for Ordered Liberty. And we have Quintina, who is located in East Islip, Long Island. And Quintina asks, I don't know if you've already mentioned this, but it seems that one of the most troubling results that could occur if a vision of the aforementioned Christian nationalism was accomplished was a heightened percentage of false converts in the body of Christ, because people are going to become Christians in name only, primarily out of fear. I think that's a good question.
Yeah, and I think it's a good assessment of the worst case scenario. It would be a return to a late medieval Europe, where the true Church of Christ was a persecuted minority, and it was being persecuted by the corrupted church. There is a real risk when you join church and state and you mandate first baptism into the church, and then you mandate the affirmation of sound doctrine, and you mandate regular church attendance and things like this, that you will have an entire generation who are raised under these circumstances, and they never experienced the true birth. And then as they grow up and they take positions of ecclesiastical leadership, you now have the Church of Christ being led by pastors who are unregenerate. And it's only a matter of time before the true Church of Christ again finds itself in the position that it was in just prior to the Reformation. And we certainly don't want to see that occur.
Amen. And just out of curiosity, is Stephen Wolfe a professing Calvinist? Because I don't assume that he is saying that these professions that would come in because of a mandating of Christian beliefs, even in Doug Wilson's minimal view of the Apostles' Creed, I'm assuming that they don't believe this would deem those people genuine, regenerate members of the body of Christ, would they? I mean, that seems to defy, doesn't seem to, it does defy the core of the doctrines of sovereign grace.
Sure. And neither one of them would say that everyone who is a part of the church in this scheme would be regenerate. But in Wolfe's case, okay, he believes that the civil government has the responsibility to curtail or to punish anything that could potentially or actually cause harm to citizens. And in his view, false doctrine is a potential or a real harm to a nation's citizens, and therefore the government needs to suppress it, okay, using the power of the sword if necessary. So he says that no, regeneration is a matter between the individual and God, and you must come to personally receive in repentant faith the gospel to be saved. But he would also deny the right of people to articulate beliefs that would run contrary to the doctrines established by the state in consultation with the church. And there would be no option except go to a church that was approved by this state apparatus.
It almost seems like an effort to create a Protestant papacy.
Yeah, it's not too far from that. Not at all.
Well, by the way, Quintina, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, and not only does that violate the right of conscience and the freedoms of speech and peaceable assembly, but it also gives the state powers that Christ does not give it in this age. Now, after Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, there will be a holy theocracy. And The government and the church will be wed together, but it will be ruled by a perfect man, and all will be glorious. But we don't want to give those kinds of powers to the state in this time, before Christ comes, when it would be ruled by sinful men. It's simply a recipe for disaster.
Quintina, you've also won a free copy of Let Men Be Free, so please make sure you provide for us your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. And also we want to make sure we thank once again our friends at G3 Press for providing our listeners with a limited number of free copies. And I'll try to squeeze one more question in here. Let's see. We have Gabriella in Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. And Gabriella says, I've heard it said that it is a ridiculous notion to say that you have a choice of a free church and a free state against a merely secular form of government because of the fact that all secular forms of governments are really God-hating theocracies. How do you respond to that? I somewhat said something similar to that in the beginning of the show today, that, you know, leftists often think they're getting away with saying that they're not imposing their religious views upon the society like so-called Christians are doing, but they really do, I believe, have a theocratic concept of ruling not only this nation but the world, but it is a false religion that they have, even if they don't acknowledge it as a religion. I'm assuming that may be a part of what the listener is saying, but do you have your own thoughts on that?
Yes, well, I fully concur that secularism is not neutral. Okay, it is a distinctive worldview, and a secularist government is a government that believes it is God. It believes there is no God above, therefore they are the highest authority. And the trouble with a secular government that thinks it's God is that it always leads to tyranny, to the violation of human dignity, of human conscience, of the rights of free speech and peaceable assembly. A secularist government will do the kinds of things they're doing right now, redefining marriage, enslaving the unborn by giving their parents the right to end their lives on demand. Secularism, militant secularism particularly, as we're dealing with in our day today, is the enemy of civil society. It's no friend to it. What we need is a government that recognizes its divinely ordained role and is willing to limit itself to its divine role. And we need a church that is understanding its divine role, and that is, it is very eager to practice and to execute its mandate from God. When we have that in place, then we're in a position where the society can flourish, we can have stability, but we can also have freedom, and that's the only way.
And we are out of time. I want to repeat some important websites. First of all, Grace Baptist Church of Marshall, Michigan, can be found at gracebaptistmarshall.com. And don't forget, you could purchase the book that we have been addressing, Let Men Be Free, from G3 Press. Go to g3men.org and scroll down until you see the Let Men Be Free being offered. And if you enter the promo code or the discount coupon code ARNZEN, my last name, A-R-N-Z-E-N, you will get 25% off the retail price. I want to thank you, Dr. Crawford, for being such an exquisite guest. I look forward to your return to the show. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.